Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host, and we can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And that Sound Doctrine is spelled with one D. I want to welcome everybody back to the show. This is going to be a big show. I had a major download this week that, it was big as anything I've ever seen. And for the times we're in now, as the stuff just comes in, it just becomes more and more of a burden to carry it. And until I get it out, it just weighs so heavy on me sometimes. And I just want to thank all the friends that we have a little email thing going on, and I get this stuff and I just put it together in a quick study and I send it out just to be accountable. And it's really the responses from that help in these shows. And when I say I talk about you and the way that we are, iron sharpening iron here. And no scripture is subject to private interpretation. We are to be accountable to our brethren, and I certainly try to do that. And the big goal is to not try to make doctrine fit something you're trying to say, or just approach this with an open slate every time that you are just bringing out what the Lord is revealing to you. This is the same way he revealed the truth to Peter when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ. I mean, that's the rock that the church is built upon, the foundation. And it just was a major week. And I've got a lot of notes. It's probably going to be a long show. But I'm just going to go and start putting this stuff out. And I'm going to save the punchline for somewhere in the middle. So keep your ears. I'll definitely go over it. You won't miss it. But I'm going to continue on in where we've been with this Zechariah, because I'm seeing something so amazing with the book of Zechariah, in that I really see a blueprint of this end times in the book of Zechariah. And the patterns are so amazing, so exciting. And it's the Lord opening it up, because it's so metaphor. It's all metaphor. There's no possible way a seminary scholar can get this. This stuff's got to come in from the Holy Spirit. And it has been. I'm praising the Lord, because he's just opening this amazing word up to me in a way I've never experienced. And I want to start out the show with Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. And in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Huge, huge verse. And what I'm feeling is I'm feeling like I'm Daniel. I mean, I'm a type of Daniel. I identify with Daniel. Because what I'm doing is I'm reading Zechariah, and I'm getting the same thing. I'm reading a book, and then I'm seeing the pattern. And I'm just going to jump right in here, and we'll see where this goes. And I'll just keep building everything upon the scripture. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? So there's the theme. The Lord's setting the stage here, and it's a signature of the 70 years. It's 70 years. I'm telling you, folks, this 70 years is the current run of the similitude in Zechariah And we know that, Hosea prophesied in chapter 12, verse 10, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. I mean, this is passage of Zechariah here. The book of Zechariah is a similitude for us today. And actually what I'm seeing is there's actually three runs of this, and I'm seeing it clearly as the account of I will overturn it. And the first overturning was the Babylonian sacking of the temple of Solomon's temple when God promised he wouldn't pass judgment until Solomon was gone, and when he did, this is when he passed judgment on his people Israel, and the tribes were scattered, and that's the pattern for us today. And then there's also another run of that when the temple was sacked in 70 AD. The second of the I will overturn it. And the third overturning in Ezekiel is what we're experiencing today. As I clearly see the patterns, all based upon where we've been with our studies, Revelation 9, the opening of the bottomless pit, the indignation of the Lord's anger, all playing out right before our eyes. And this show, it's something I haven't done much of as far as date setting and number crunching here, but I've done some of that. And I've got some solid revelation that I can speak dogmatically on, thus saith the Lord, that will really show us where we are. I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm going to build up some more foundation here before I drop the bomb. But, getting back to Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. So when we hear a verse like that, we know that Hosea is telling us this is a similitude for us today. Well, the Lord is jealous for his church. And verse 15, I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. So this is what the Lord is saying, crying out, and we see a signature here that I'll recite the verse now, and we'll go there again later on in the show. But Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, which has a big part of this show today. Tekel, this is the definition of Tekel. Many, many Tekel, you farson. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Okay, so this all ties into where we're heading here with this. Because don't forget, we're talking about Zechariah, and which is the detailed account of the two witnesses, which is the building of the... It's a metaphor. I mean, it happened physically as Joshua and Zerubbabel led the people out of Babylonian captivity, on the way back to Jerusalem after their captivity. The captivity that Daniel spotted through reading books. The captivity, the 70 years of captivity that Zechariah is testifying to, and then it's the 70 years that I'm telling you about. Not that I, I identify with a servant, the prophet. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a prophet because I preach the gospel. Okay, and I love the truth, and I love the truth, and God gives it to me. And I've already lost everything in my life that I held, you know, physically dear to me. I've been stripped of my idols. I've been, you know, I've gone through my hell. I mean, I've had just tremendous tribulation the last 4 years. And, you know, it was for a purpose, because it was, you know, God's, he nourished me in the wilderness through that period of time. And I learned, you know, and the scripture opened up to me after I got rid of the things that hindered my vision. But, you know, this is where I'm at and how I'm able to confidently teach this, because I've had the Lord, you know, confirm it in my heart. I don't have everything right. I don't know everything, but I know a few things. And that's what I'm teaching. And I'm going to keep going here, because this last week I got a lot of stuff came together. Zechariah 1:18. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Okay, now we see judgment here. We see judgment starting here. And why? Because the Lord is sorely displeased. And we've got these identities called the four carpenters, which are the four horns that have scattered Judah. And this is what we have today, because Judah is scattered today. Israel, Judah, Jerusalem is scattered today. This is the same thing as the temple is torn down. Not one stone is left upon another. The lively stones have been torn down of this spiritual house, the spiritual temple. And you know, I'm of the mind. In fact, I know that it is in the process of the final rebuilding of the spiritual house, and it is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus as the cornerstone. The 144,000 are built into the walls, which are the perfected saints, and the 144,000 are the regathered tribes, which is what this is about. These scattered people are gathered. I will gather my elect from the four winds. And this is where we're heading. And this is building this scene, this account, and with such incredible clarity as to where we are today that, you know, I've been shaking. I've been just literally trembling over this as I see it so clearly, with a couple solid, you know, signposts that I can hang on to beyond doubt, and with the Lord opening this up about where we are in a very real sense. But this word carpenters, it's H2796 in the Strong's, and it says a fabricator of any material, a carpenter, craftsman, mason. Okay, that's just interesting. And it also is, by extension, from a primitive root, figuratively to devise, parenthetically in a bad sense, hence from the idea of secrecy, practice secretly. So, you know, we've got, you know, gigantic signatures there, just these four carpenters. They're the four beasts. They're the four final kingdoms, the kingdom powers, you know, these beast powers, the lion, bear, leopard, and the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Also, the signature of the white horse, red horse, black horse, and pale horse, whose rider is death and hell. And I'm going to just go ahead now and start tying the scripture into our day, the end times. the last days, not to be confused with the the last days in Scripture is the New Testament, you know, but there is a time of the end, and we're definitely seeing these solid signatures of where we are. And I'm just going to say the picture that we use for the show, that picture of Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, you know, is very telling. Hitler's missing. He's there in spirit somewhere. But those four actually represent these carpenters. Not to, you know, make no mistake. They were all Freemasons, just with that neat little signature the Lord gives us there with the Strongs. Who would have known? But this is the force behind these beasts, is the secrecy, the building, you know, building and climbing, man building, you know, climbing into heaven another way. But this is definitely the signature of these horns that are the judgment. This is the mechanism that the Lord uses to scatter his flock, which is what he's done here at the end of the age. And I'm going to go ahead and say, there's some stuff that we've talked about with the, they will torment men 5 months, that signature in the book of Revelation chapter 9, you know, concerning the bottomless pit. And, you know, I still haven't been able to just come out flat out and say, thus saith the Lord, but you see the signature of 5 months, and I'm telling you, I'm probably to the point now where it's hard to deny it, but that 5 months, it works out in the Jewish time of a week for a year, or whatever, what a day for a year, but 5 months works out to be 140 years. So stick with me on this. I'm going to just go through some more scripture here. Remember what I just said. Revelation 8:13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying, loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And the reason I brought that in at this point is because it's talking about the same thing as Zechariah. We're moving into chapter 2 now. Verse 6. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the earth. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, this is talking about the same thing as Revelation chapter 9. The trumpet judgments. This is a signature of the trumpet judgments here in Zechariah. Ho, ho. Two of the three woes, because this is the fifth and sixth trumpet, which flee from the land of the north, which is where this northern army of false teachers, false prophets that we've already exhausted understanding, in the book of Revelation chapter 9, Joel, the Gog Magog army, is talking about this judgment. This is the judgment. You know, all tied together with the four carpenters, the four horsemen, the fourth beast, the dreadful and terrible beast. And I just, the definitions of the words woe and ho here in Zechariah are the same. It's the same word. And it's just saying, woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to them that make merchandise of you. This is what this is about. This is what God is doing. He is judging his house. And this is the count today of the final time. This is the final judgment. We're in it. We're well along, much further along than most realize. But and with the identities in focus there with the woes, you know, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. I just wanted to jump in now and add, which there'll be a few of these in this show, because this has been an interesting week, a lot of interaction with the group, and it's been fun. But, you know, our dear friend Judy, who has just been wonderful and just a humble servant, and has a brother that has been, you know, received lots of understanding, and doesn't have a computer, but, you know, gave me a handwritten note a couple months back of just some insights that he's seeing, everything we're seeing now concerning the second coming, the coming of the Son of Man. You know, actually, this is where this show will end up today, is where this thing leads up to the coming of the Son of Man, just as in the days of Noah, and the way that it's, he comes in the clouds, and just the neat stuff the Lord's really bringing out in that respect. Concerning the man-child, really, the, you know, the Lord returning in his people. And I had a wonderful, you know, letter from him a couple months back, handwritten, as I said, and just a big help. You know, this is how this has been so neat, the way we, but, you know, I carbon copied Judy on this one study that I threw out there, and she had sent this back. I'm not even sure. I think she might have done this even before I sent that out. But I'm just going to read this because it's neat. And Judy says, I had wanted you to know how much I've been enjoying listening to the shows. And you were talking about reality, and I just wanted to share with you some of the verses the Lord has given me. And she wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Revelation 6, 12 through 17, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken with a mighty wind. And the heaven departed, and a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? And then she tied it in with Isaiah 34:4. Could heaven depart as a scroll when it is rolled together? Be speaking of the day when the eternal things, which we cannot see now, but have our hope in, manifest, become the reality, and man will not be able to hide from the truth any longer because of the temporal worldly things man trusts in will be exposed as deception and lies, and will finally be destroyed by the wrath of God at Jesus' return. Our new incorruptible bodies that are reserved in heaven manifest in a new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then more of in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4, verse 16. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God in heaven of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The inward man will be clothed with our incorruptible body that is reserved in heaven for each believer. I wonder if it's connected with the role in Zechariah. This is me now. This is my response to that note that she had written. It's a little dialogue we had going. And I wonder if that's connected to the role in Zechariah, just thinking out loud. You know, and this is Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1. Then I turned and lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? I answered, I see a flying roll, the length of 20 cubits and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. then said unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. And, you know, it's just, I threw that out. I mean, you know, I had a, that verse came to mind, and the one reason I'm throwing it in now is, you know, connecting to the woes, the woes to the inhabitants of the earth. Because that's what this is, who this is addressing, and what it's addressing is this curse, which is the snare, the strong delusion, the judgment at the end of the age, which is what we're in the middle of. And this is what this is about, more, you know, just more clarity. But as I'm saying that, sharing this, what Judy sent us, as you know, I had sent that observation about, that's what Zechariah is talking about with the flying scroll, the flying roll. And then Judy just wrote back and said, I can see a connection between the flying roll, the curse that covers the whole earth, with a deception. And when the heavens departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, as being when the truth taught by God's messengers reveals all the deception. So no one can hide from the truth any longer. The final harvest taking place one by one as people are coming out of the deception. And then finally, Jesus will bring, you know, him, all the saints from heaven, when he returns to gather those believers still alive on earth together with them into one, and then the kingdom will be complete, made perfect. Of course, it will be a terrible day for those who believe not the truth, but love their lives here in this world more than God, those who never come out of the deception. And I just had to share that, and it's just, I'm so grateful for that, because it helps me. It helps so much when you guys do that. And I just want to thank you, Judy, and God bless you and your family. And, you know, that, because it's so appropriate to where we're going with this study, because I see that, and that's what the point of this is, as this deception that has been on the land now for, you know, questionable, you know, 140 years, has just come to the point where there are the masses who are just completely brainwashed and in a fog. And then there are those of us who the Lord has deemed worthy for some, you know, how he chooses, you know, to allow us to see, you know, to take off the blinders. The scales have fallen from our eyes, and those of us who see are speaking what we see into this crazy world. But that's how the Lord has designed it, as the faith comes from hearing, and, you know, hearing by the word of God. And as we speak these words, we speak with power. And I'm here to testify right now. I have been experiencing amazing changes in speaking. Just yesterday, I had two encounters with people looking into my eyes with just hanging on every word, you know. I never had that before. Talking about the deep things of the Lord. And it's just exciting. That's because people are scared. And this world is coming apart on them. And, you know, this is what we're dealing with. And there's those, you know, that are holding on to it and saying, oh, it's going to turn around, or it's going to, whatever. And, you know, any reason they have to keep holding on to this world that Judy was talking about. But there are those that are realizing there's something wrong. And, you know, we're in the process of this well along, much further along than most even realize. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, just finish up Zechariah chapter 2 right now, just setting the stage here. They say this is going to be a long show. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to take any breaks, and we'll just let it go. But he says, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. See, this is the second time. This is this whole thing runs again here. And you know, this is the similitude of the first time that the Lord brought, you know, Israel out of Babylonian captivity Well, we're in the second run. Babylon has fallen, But the Lord is good, and there's a happy ending to this for his remnant, for his people. And that's what I'm focused on. And Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13, the last verse in the chapter. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. So this is what's happening. You know, the Lord is raised up out of his holy habitation, and he's doing his work, his strange work, his act, his strange act. He's doing a work that we wouldn't believe it, even though it were told us. And, you know, this work is the Assyrian invasion, the invasion of false teachers that he allows to come into his house, the army of horsemen, 200,000 false teachers, false prophets, that he allows into his own house to judge, as judgment, as his mechanism, because his sheep hear his voice. His sheep are not deceived by these false teachers. And I'm just going to keep firing off the scripture, because it'll all tie together, hopefully by the end. And now we're going to give credit to another friend of the show, James Lloyd, who a couple months ago did a great study called The Maddening Wine of Babylon. And it was, you know, they are drunk. You know, the nations have gone mad, it says in Jeremiah chapter 51. And, you know, he expounded upon the account in Daniel to the handwriting on the wall. Daniel chapter 5, verse 24 and through 28. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. See, now there's the signature of what we have today. The Medes and Persians are the type and shadow of the serpent scorpions, the death and hell, the false prophets, the judgment that has come upon God's house because he has measured it and found it wanting. And, you know, we see this complete tie-in with the two witnesses. The two witnesses are measuring the temple in Revelation chapter 11. You know, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. It's all the same thing going on. This is the plumb line. God sets the plumb line in the midst of his people. And it's what side of the plumb line, you know, do you fall on? This is what this is about. And it's for the purpose of judgment. And like we said in the beginning of the show, the four carpenters, the signature of the four beasts, the fourth beast, the dreadful and terrible that, you know, is running the show today, 2013. This thing's about run. It's about over. And as this is another installment in the Fractured Fairy Tales saga, as you know, Peter said, we do not believe cunningly devised fables. But basically, that's describing Christian end-time doctrine today. It's just basically a collection of cunningly devised fables, basically devised by these four carpenters in secrecy. You know, the signature's there. You know, all the identities that can be tied to those four carpenters. But this is what we have today, the strong delusion. You know, this delusion that is so beyond comprehension, as most Christians, for one, have no idea the level of deception Satan is capable of, nor do they realize that God allows every bit of it. Because this is God. Consider the goodness and severity of God. And this is what the church doesn't do. They don't consider the goodness and severity. I was going to close out the show with a portion of Malachi, but it just came to mind right now. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is God of judgment? Well, you know, that's describing the attitude of the church. This church that doesn't consider the goodness and severity of God. You know, they're all the fables that have infiltrated their minds with this thinking has them, you know, completely deceived in the fact that, you know, a just and a loving God is also a just God, and his love can't be complete without justice. And just the Lord cannot be a just God without judgment. And here we are. So anyway, I'm gonna keep going, more scripture, and hoping that it will all come together in the end. But just grabbing the portion of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. The four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon his feet, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings as of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given it. And after this I saw that in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Well, there's, you know, I'm just describing the New World Order. The lion, the bear, and the leopard. The final kingdoms. The four being the British Empire. The bear, obviously, being the Soviet communist regime. And the black horse, or the, it's the same signature as the black horse, but the leopard. The panther, panzer tanks, black boots, black science, the Nazis. The Nazi fascist ideology system, and all these powers combined at World War II, significant of the time of that picture for the signature of the show today, as these world powers combined into the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, the United Nations, America, the U.S., UN, World Empire. And while, you know, it's all been done with subversion, by stealth and secrecy, as the four carpenters, the signature of the four carpenters, but it's happened. And while they let the Americans fly their flag on the 4th of July, you know, few people realize that this has been basically a world system since World War II. And while, you know, the fables of the Christian eschatology, you know, have us looking to the revised Roman Empire coming from Europe and, you know, all this nonsense. And I can't believe how many still adhere to this baloney. But, you know, realize that this thing's already happened. You know, it all came together in 1947. And out of this diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, we see this other identity showing up here. And you'll always see this identity, which is been a pattern in history. This stuff repeats, and these identities have run, you know, in the past. And I'm not going to go into that because I don't do that. I'm not like all the details here of the ribs and the mouth, and you know, there's many. Well, I don't say many, but well, you know, our friend James Lloyd, who you know was instrumental in piecing some of this together myself, as I studied that many Tekel Upharsin work that he had done, and it was instrumental in me putting together what I have today. But we've got these four beasts, dreadful and terrible. We've also got this little horn, and it's very clear who this little horn identity is. It's a power, and it's Satan, you know, and he is influencing all these powers, but with these different aspects that the Lord gives us detail to. You know, we see this out of this United States, UN world system that, you know, came out of World War II. We have the founding of what is called, in blasphemy, by the way, the nation state of Israel, 1948. You know, probably the most significant date in all of history, at least for you know, not to take away from the, you know, birth and resurrection of our Lord. Certainly, you know, it all works together. This is the way this is. This is not when we say the finished work on the cross. There's this amazing pattern that we see here, this mysterious period, this mysterious age known as the New Testament era. And if anyone really studies Scripture, you realize that it's a very abstract thing. And when you read Old Testament prophecy and you see in that day, for example, I mean, many times it's referring to the first coming, and the whole New Testament work, and we're going to touch upon that in more detail in a little bit here, but we do see this solid signature, as I say, when we take the Scripture and then we look around, and we do see something like this that happened. There's no denying it. And through diligent study and surrendering to the Lord, I'm here to tell you what this is. Okay, and I want to continue on now. We'll jump into Daniel chapter 8. And we've got this little horn power. And then there's this, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Verse 13, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And then we jump to verse 23, in the latter time of their kingdom, this is talking about the four beasts, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Well, this king is Satan, influencing these world powers. And the ultimate deception, this king is the power behind the apostate church. And the fable in the aforementioned apostate church is the Antichrist. Well, this Antichrist power is a power. It is not a man, not a physical man. It's a spiritual power likened unto Jesus Christ. And as we what we understand about Jesus Christ and his power and his influence on us is his Holy Spirit indwells us. The covenant written on our heart indwells the repentant believer. We also understand in study of Scripture that there is a counter to that, that there is also an impersonator, that there is an Antichrist spirit, power, that inhabits people. And this is the king. This is this king who a host was given him to cast the truth to the ground, and we've been over that and over that. And he's influencing these transgressors. The transgressors are the false teachers, the false religious leaders. And, you know, you can tie it into the political, as this whole religious political beast is developed to what it is today. Probably the most sinister force on the planet is the Christian right, absolutely deceived, in the complete depths of deception. And unfortunately, few see it. More and more are waking up to it, but you know, ultimately, this will be the deception of all deceptions, is where this thing ends up. It'll be a counterfeit Christian kingdom, and this is what we are preparing for now, because the remnant will see it, will speak out about it, are speaking out about it, and ultimately, it looks to me as though these metaphoric killings will become literal. And, you know, this is pretty clear, and this is the pattern, because we see the same exact patterns that our Lord and Savior dealt with, as we have today, as remnant believers, are dealing with the identical issue that Jesus dealt with, and that is the spirit behind the scribes and Pharisees. The pride, hypocrisy that Jesus dealt with is the exact thing that remnant Christian believers are dealing with, and that's what we have. And our, you know, just to give credit again to our friend James Lloyd, as he was one to realize early on the two timelines. You know, we see the dual timeline. We see the account of the Old Testament, and all these things happen unto them as examples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world has come, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this whole thing runs twice. And we're seeing this pattern, the account here in Daniel, of what we have today. This is the second run-through of this Babylonian captivity, the captivity that Daniel realized why his people were in captivity by reading the words of Jeremiah. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm reading the words of Zechariah, and I'm realizing to myself, oh my gosh, this is the exact same thing. We're going through it today. I mean, as I'm building this study, just hang in there, because I'm getting ready to drop the bomb here. But, you know, it's neat, because what I just talked about, the king being Satan, who has a host, an army, and this army casts the truth to the ground. Well, this is what the dynamic going on today is. The religious leaders in this Christian harlot system have truly cast the truth to the ground. And that takes us right to the middle of our, I guess, one of our favorite chapters. You know, I just say favorite because the Lord's opened it up to me, and I've praised him for that. It's just an area of understanding the Lord's entrusted to me, you know, and I've tried to teach it as clearly as I can, but I just see it so clearly. And the way this Revelation chapter 9 ties directly into the serpent and scorpion locust army of the north, the Gog Magog Joel's army, and so clearly see the patterns, the signatures of, you know, the church today. Is this church has been completely, you know, infiltrated with this serpent scorpion power, and you know, we see right in the middle of Revelation 9, verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So, you know, we see all these signatures here tying us back to Zechariah, the four horns, the judgment. We just passed the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, and we've made it past this first woe, as we understand that this bottomless pit that's opened, and the 5 months, the signature of the 5 months, it's pretty safe to say that that's 140 years ago. And this is why the show is so exciting, because I think I can pinpoint pretty much exactly where that fits. And I'm pretty much ready to drop that here. Let's go with Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 7. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay. Well, what we seems to be happening here is that, well, we know there's signatures here I just wanted to touch upon. The end will be with a flood, and in this verse in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it likens the flood and the war as the same thing. The end shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. It just, the context tells you the flood and the war is the same thing. It is. It's the Gog-Magog War. It's the war of the invasion out of the north, the Assyrian invasion, the flood. The flood of deception, the flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth, and the signature of the 5 months as the period of time that the floodwaters sat upon the earth. And, you know, all the metaphor connections are there. But when we see this, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay, well, here comes the bomb, folks. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the email that I sent out as a beta test, just to get it. I just got this understanding, and I had to write it out and fire it out. And here goes. I'm seeing the establishment of the counterfeit, blasphemous nation-state of Israel as the setting up of the abomination of desolation, 1948. And I also see James Lloyd's realization that it was 2,550 years since the destruction of physical Babylon, and is an outward sign of many, many Tekel Upharsin. This is what James Lloyd came up with: the 2,550 years, almost to the, you know, to the day of the establishment of the nation state of counterfeit Israel, as the reestablishment of Babylon. And I'm seeing it now too, so clearly. I'm seeing the Babylonian captivity of 70 years is also replaying. And as events unfold and the words of Scripture are opening up at an alarming rate, you know, I believe 2018, 70 years after the second Babylonian captivity began, is when the apostate Christians will be released from their captivity. And the captivity is deception. Finding the patterns in Zechariah, just like Daniel did, the first time in Jeremiah. The book of Zechariah is the blueprint for the last days. The Lord rises up out of his holy habitation, reveals the mystery to his servants, the prophets. You know, and we know that from chapter 10 of Revelation. These are the two witnesses. This is the early prophets that are revealed. The truth is revealed to them. We know the mysteries behind the two witnesses. It's so amazing. But it's the theme of Zechariah, and it's all underway. Because, you know, their instructions, the two witnesses' instructions, are in the book of Zechariah. They are the eyes of the Lord wandering to and fro, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards God. They prophesy. They are the angels in Matthew chapter 24. Okay, now this is where we're heading, and this is going to tie this all together now. And I hope that I'm doing a good job of bringing this information out, because it's just so amazing. Matthew 24:29, because this is where the Lord really makes it clear. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power, great glory. And he shall send his angels, parenthetically, the two witnesses. Because the word angel is messenger. It's the two witnesses. It's the servants, the prophets, who have had the mystery revealed to them. With a great sound of a trumpet, these are our voices, lightning, thunders, earthquake. All the metaphor going on here. The lightning is the truth. The thunders, you know, the commotion that this truth causes as this thing builds, you know. And follow this now, Matthew 24:31. And they shall gather together his elect. Okay? And the elect are the 144,000. This is the regathering of the tribes. This is the gathering of the tribes that were scattered at the first Babylonian captivity. And they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I have in parentheses on Facebook, on blogs, and with podcasts. This is what's happening. The Lord is using his angels, his messengers, us, and we're at, probably at this point, the two witnesses. I see this thing build as the two witnesses prophesy, are, you know, just suffer tremendous persecution, you know, metaphorically killed by the harlot church. Our dead bodies lie in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. You know, I identify with that. Where also our Lord was crucified. You know, and this is the pattern that we go through with, you know, how our words are received. But then we see the Lord breathes life back into these dead bodies. And, you know, somehow in this mysterious way, we're seeing the account of the man-child being born and the, you know, the true... And this is the second coming, as the Lord inhabits his people in this man-child. And it's just, you know, absolutely incredible. But I'm going to share some more scripture that I'm seeing in Zechariah chapter 9. And this is probably the verse that brought this out to me. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. See, as this is happening, these tribes are gathered. Zechariah 9, verse 6. And a bastard in Ashdod I will cut off the pride of Philistines, of the Philistines. Ashdod is H795 in the Strongs. It's a place in Palestine. Well, the bastard shall dwell in Ashdod is the counterfeit nation state of Israel. And this is the signature of the abomination that makes desolate. Because this is what the Lord has placed. This is what the prophet Daniel prophesied about. that when you see the abomination that makes desolate, and as Mark, the account in Mark chapter 13 of the Olivet Discourse, it says, when you see the abomination standing where it ought not. Folks, the abomination of desolation is the nation state of Israel. Literally. The literal establishment in 1948 of the nation state of Israel is the setting up of the abomination that makes desolate. Because that setting up made the church desolate. As in that period of time, through cunningly devised fables and mass deception, you know, built upon the foundation of the Scofield Study Bible, etc., etc., we have the strong delusion today, as the deceived masses of Christians are wondering after the beast whose deadly wound was healed. This deadly wound was inflicted in 70 A.D., and the deadly wound was healed in 1948. And it's so amazing to understand that this is the signature of the beginning of the modern second account of the Babylonian captivity, which is what we're in today. The church is in captivity. One taken, one left. One is taken into captivity, taken into deception. Babylonian captivity today is deception. The strong delusion. For those who love not the truth, God sends strong delusion so they can that they believe a lie. And this is what we have. This began physically, literally, in 1948. And now, when we realize that that's like 65 years ago, it really brings clarity to where we are, because I'm convinced that this is a signpost the Lord has given us to know exactly where we are, and to know that to know what's coming. And I'm just going to, this is so amazing that something I picked up on. Well, first off, Bill, you know, brought this out to me this week, just added clarity to the gathering of the tribes, because, you know, the theme of this show from last week was gathering and scattering, scattering and gathering, and all the metaphor concerning the planting, and there's just so much there. You know, I was going to go back into Isaiah chapter 28 with the plowman, you know, and him, you know, precisely planting his field with a little cumin and a little fitches scattered in there to add flavor, you know, the type and shadow of the tempering that the serpents and scorpions bring to the house as the wheat grow up together with the tares. Esau and Jacob grew up together. You know, that metaphor is just so amazing. And there's more. There's so much more there, and we'll see where the Lord leads if we can, you know, go in deeper to really understand this, the scattering, as the scattering of the wheat in the field, and then they grow up, and then the tares are gathered, likened to the deception that gathers the nations, the Gentiles, the heathens, into the valley of Armageddon, the Gog-Magog war, as it says in Revelation 20. And then at the same time, the elect are gathered. And we see the gathering of the apostate surrounding the elect and all the dynamics that take place there, because that's what's coming. We're heading for a major confrontation as the Lord builds His house. The truth binds us together, this New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is the man-child, is Zion, is the promised land, metaphors for God's kingdom that will not be given to other people. This is the final kingdom, the kingdom that stands, and this is what this is about. And as this deception that is likened to the Babylonian captivity, just like it was in the similitude 2,550 years before the nation state of Israel was established. But the problem today is that the captives don't know that they're captives. So there's, you know, these are just patterns. This is examples, not exact, but the patterns are there. And we see the pattern of the Babylonian captivity is absolutely connected to the setting up of the abomination that makes desolate, as the professing Christians who love not the truth, who are who love the world more than they love the Lord, are turned over to strong delusion and are subsequently surrendering their birthright, their heritage as the Israel of God, and have given this identity, this blessing, to a flesh, man-made construct. So this is the process of the church being left desolate, and it is desolate to the end. That's why we come out. We've come out of her. Come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people, and don't partake in her iniquity and plagues. And these plagues are the false teachers, the false doctrine, the plagues, the locust, scorpion plagues, the hail. And this is the metaphor today for those who have the you know, the Passover blood on their doorposts. The plagues pass over. So those who are truly in covenant with the Lord, the plagues don't affect them. In other words, they're not deceived. And you know, this is where we are. But giving clarity to the tribes, Bill just said, look at James chapter 1. It tells it all right there. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. So this is what he says. James says this, New Testament, post-cross, to the scattered tribes. So the tribes are scattered. They were scattered at the Babylonian invasion, at the when the temple was sacked, and in Daniel chapter 8. And that's the type and shadow today, as we still have the 12 tribes are scattered, but we also do see that they're gathered. They are gathered, the elect are gathered from the four winds, and I'm of the mind that this is underway. And it's the voices of the servants, the prophets, that are the angels, the messengers, in Matthew chapter 24, that are truly about gathering the elect, because it's our voices that are gathering the elect with the common bond of the truth. And if we're sharing this on a Facebook post or in an email, this is how the Lord's doing it. And in this day and age of computer technology, you know, who would have ever thought that this is how it would have ended up? But it did. And if there's not enough clarity going on here with Matthew 24, well, look at where does Matthew 24 end up after the account of the voices gathering the tribes from the four winds? Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put his forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. This is harvest. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until these things be fulfilled. Well, this passage here, talking about the fig tree, Israel, it's talking about the abomination of desolation. It's reiterating what was being taught earlier in the chapter. And it's this generation, 70 years. Okay? This is the confirmation of what I'm saying. The abomination of desolation, when you see it, you know, it was set up in 1948. And it's those destroyers of their heritage, the Israel of God, have forfeited their birthright. And this is the abomination that makes desolate. And I'm not going to go real deep into this tonight, but I really saw a gigantic, cryptic verse that is huge. And it helps me understand this mystery that is the New Testament era. Zechariah 9:9. This is one of the most profound cryptic verses I've ever found in Scripture. And I've only just barely touched upon it. But, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of his ass." That, folks, is describing the Lord and the man-child. That is the Lord coming on an ass, and his colt, the foal of an ass. And this is the mystery here of this thing, that I'm just seeking the Lord, and it's, I pray that this will be, continue to be opened up as the weeks go by. But this is the mystery here, as we look at the Lord's coming, and he came riding upon an ass, and then we as his servants also ride on an ass in this signature of humility, and you know, I'm just going to go into the definitions. The colt is H5895 in the Strong's, in the sense of raising. And then it goes into the foal, which is H1121, a son, a builder of the family name, the branch. See, this is the man-child. This is, amazingly, the man-child is capitalized as a, you know, it's just so amazing. It's Jesus, the vine, then us, the branch. That's why the first and second coming in prophecy is so vague, you know. But this is what's happening, and as this man-child is being birthed here again, because it certainly was you know, brought about at Pentecost as another pattern, you know, this type and shadow. But we also see the pattern at Pentecost. And really, I mean, there's actually three. Well, you know, we see that in Ezekiel. I will overturn it. And I believe that is speaking of the three temples that are overturned. In that, the Babylonian, you know, the Solomon's temple. Then the overturning of the temple when Jesus overturned the tables, as a spiritual type and shadow of what was coming when it truly was sacked, and not one stone was literally left upon another. And then we see that pattern today as the spiritual house has been torn down. How? Through deception, through the invasion again, the invasion of the Chaldeans, that it says in Habakkuk, you know, these false teachers that have come into the house and torn it down. Not one stone is left upon another. These lively stones. But then these lively stones are built back up. But I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to say again, Zechariah 9:6, "And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines." That's the state. That's the nation state of Israel, the bastard in the Middle East. It's the bastard child, excuse my language, but it's just so clear. This is a Freemasonic concoction, and it's deception, but it's a signature of judgment. Now, this is where I'm going to really tie this thing together here. It's just amazing, because it's all right there under our nose, all these years. And I'm going to now jump over to Mark, because the wording in the Olivet Discourse in Mark is just a little more clear. "And when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not," okay, "let him readeth understand, that let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Okay, well, we certainly know that there was the first run through of this as the, you know, the whatever, you know, Antiochus Epiphany, sacrificing the pig on the altar, whatever. But I'm telling you, this in the modern account today, it's when you Christian see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not. In other words, this counterfeit identity as the Israel of God being manifest in a physical, tangible way. Flee. Know where you stand. This is why, let him that readeth understand. And I'm telling you, I've been seeking the Lord for 2 years on the understanding of the abomination of desolation. And while we've had pieces of it, and I have to give credit back to our friend Sue Patterson, who was just so amazing in the work that she did with Randy Moggins in the third day studies. And she had a revelation that the abomination of desolation is the elevation of the Jewish people. I mean, that's how she saw it, and which this is certainly part of it. And I've been pretty much maintaining that the abomination is the apostasy, and the ultimate signature is the misappropriation of the heritage in Christians forfeiting their birthright. But I'm seeing it now absolutely as the physical establishment of the nation-state of Israel in 1948. And I see it the signature of the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, which ties into James Lloyd's study as the 2,550 years from the original destruction of Babylon to the reestablishing of Babylon, which is what we have today. Mystery Babylon, the harlot, and all that goes with it, because this is what we have. And we're 65 years into this thing. And folks, it's getting real interesting. Because I believe, because this is the good news, see, it doesn't last. This thing does not last forever. In that there's a time when the Lord gathers a remnant out of Babylon. Now, don't forget, originally many were quite happy with Babylon, and it's the same case today. But the remnant returns. A remnant will return. And this is what we have to look forward to, because there is the remnant that does return. And this is what the Lord is about the business of gathering right now. I believe it's underway. And this thing's going to continue over the next few years. And I'm telling you, it's going to get real interesting. But I'm convinced that this is exactly where we are. And I've got a couple more details to bring into this study today, and then we're going to be wrapping it up. But now consider this the context of Matthew, Mark, the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall there ever be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, so much as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if you shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." The tribulation is deception. This is, I just went over those verses in to put it in context. When you see the abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and then it goes right into this account of deception, the false Christ, the false prophets. This is the tribulation. And I'm going to jump in now to a question that our friend Gina had asked. You know, about this, because I was originally seeing that this would be the beginning of the 70th week. And I came up with the idea, possibly, it's a week of decades. 70 years, you know, I don't know. But I've been, you know, seeking the Lord on it. And what I've come up with now, okay. Mark Jenkins, I'm waiting to see what you come up with on this one. But it'll be neat to see how this thing goes. But this is what I'm seeing. Okay, 5 months is 140 years. Well, what's half of 140 years? 70. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Well, clearly, this is the signature of the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is trampling the Son of God underfoot, which we can say began in 1948 with, and I'll just throw this out, with television and Billy Graham. Because the Billy Graham gospel was the beginning of the end. The beginning of the false gospel that was the snare that came upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. With television, mind control, etc., etc. All the shows we did in the past in Watchmen Weekly on exposing the pale horse, the 1947-48 pivotal time in history, and all the things that came out of it. But folks, that is, if we take that 5 months and back up 1948 minus 70 years puts us at 1878. And you know what happened in 1878? In 1878, the first settlers arrived at Petah Tikva, which was the first settlement group in what was to become the nation state of Israel. So 1878, 70 years before 1948, were the first settlers in the desolate place, basically, which is the signature of the rebuilding of the desolate place, as it says in Malachi. For I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And this is where the verse I brought out earlier. And ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? In other words, oh, my Jesus forgives. My Jesus would never send me to hell. You know, this is the mentality in the harlot church today. You know, and it's only getting worse. Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. You know, this is the story, and this is what's coming. And this account in Malachi is talking about Christ, and it's talking about the man-child. Because the Lord comes and inhabits his people, and we judge. We carry out the judgment, and it's right here. And when we take these signatures of, I'm telling you, I think what I'm seeing today, and I'm not saying it thus saith the Lord, but right now I see the, and you know that when I was doing the Daniel studies, that I saw that with all the fractured fairy tales concerning the 70th week and what people have done with it, I see clearly that the whole 70 weeks runs twice. I believe it was concluded at the time of Jesus and Stephen and the stoning of Stephen. And then I see that whole pattern repeating again. And I'm not gonna, I can't go to the details with the days and the, but I'll tell you, you know, I'm expecting some of that clarity to come out. But right now I'm seeing, what I'm gonna go out and say is that the 70th week of Daniel, all the signatures are there for the 5 months. At the 70th week is the 5 months. It's the 140 years. A metaphor. Then, in the midst of the week, the abomination is set up. The sacrifice ceases. The Christians, the professing Christians, believe the false gospels that have now, with the foundation laid by the, you know, the cults, the John Darby's, the William, or the Charles Taze Russell's, the Joseph Smith's, the Cyrus Schofield's, the, you know, Azusa Street revivals, all this stuff coming to a head, in that the whole perfect storm of false doctrine had been laid, had, you know, had come. Storm, tribulation, winds, they will follow every wind of doctrine. You know, we're in a tribulation. We're clearly in the tribulation, no question. Tribulation is deception. It's not suitcase nukes. The fear-mongering is, you know, just a shell game. And again, I have to give credit to our friend Sue Patterson, who always said that the tribulation will happen and nobody will even realize it. And, you know, she's right. And I'm just seeing it differently than she did, but I would never have been here had she not laid the groundwork in you know, what she did. And I just I do not see a literal 3.5 years. And I, even though there's probably signatures of that coming, in that, you know, if we're going to say 70 weeks or 70 years from the time of 1948, well, that's 2018. And, you know, you can try to back off 3.5 years from 2018 and puts us right here. I don't know. I don't have anything to say about that. Something, you know, James Lloyd had thrown that out to me. I had talked to him on the phone this week, and because he has got a real understanding of Daniel, and I just wanted to get some clarity on Daniel chapter 8 and the original sacking of the temple in, you know, at the time of Solomon, you know, after Solomon died, and it's all there. You know, the detail is just incredible there in Scripture for us to know where we're at. And folks, it is very exciting, very sobering, and I'm going to go ahead and close out with something one of my dearest friends wrote me, my brother Bill, you know, who we've split up from the Watchman Weekly, and just to pursue other areas. And Bill has just done tremendous work in the area of salvation and grace and faith and the atonement. He's working on that right now, and I encourage everyone to keep up with what he's putting out. He puts out more than I can keep up with. I don't even get a chance to listen to everything, but it's over on Divinely Inspired Scripture, and there's a link to it on the website. And but he sent me just this morning, and I went and copied and pasted this thing into the study notes here to read, just to back up this bastard in Palestine. And yeah, Bill had, I'm going to read a portion of the study that he had sent me concerning, this is out of 1 Kings. "But if ye shall at all turn from following me," this is the conditions the Lord put on salvation. And this is the discussion concerning free will and predestination, which is just raging today again, this argument over free will. And it's in you know, in this Calvinist type mentality that is just so dominant, even in the remnant camp. And it's just so, it's just tremendous error that this Calvinist doctrine that's come out of, it really came out of the Reformation era, as we see this strong delusion actually goes back much further than what we're even talking here, but it's just the perfect storm of tribulation that, in other words, deception, that is so great that unless the days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. I mean, this is how bad the deception is and why we as remnant believers must be so diligent in our study and keeping our hearts pure. Because as soon as we allow the world to come in, well, we allow deception to come in, because the Lord keeps us pure and clean when we are separate, when we maintain our status as a separate people, holy. That's what holy means. Holy means to be sanctified, to be separate from the world. But this is out of 1 Kings, and I'm going to close with this about the conditions that the Lord put on Israel and on obedience, and what happens when we're not obedient. And it's brutal. And these are the words of the living God. These are not the words of the fantasy Jesus in the fractured fairy tale harlot church. But this is the words of the Lord. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. In this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And this is the words of Bill. Today's flesh Israel is but a proverb, not good, and a warning to others. An example of what happens to a harlot wife who seeks after other gods. This also applies to spiritual Israel and the harlot church of Babylon today. It all repeats over in the spirit. But God always draws a remnant out of his people who live by faith, both Old Testament and New Testament, who is numbered as the sand on the beach, but only a residue shall remain. Isaiah and Paul documented this. It's always been a remnant, salvation theology, both Old Testament and New Testament. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto his land for this and to this house? Sobering, sobering words from the scripture. Consider the goodness and severity of God. And I do. And I seek him diligently, and as the words of the apostles said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life, Jesus. And that's what I encourage you to do. Keep diligently seeking him while he can be found, because that's where this is headed. It's, you know, I'm seeing 5 years, folks. 5 years of Babylonian captivity left, probably pretty accurately, because I do believe the Lord's given us a solid signpost of this. And what we see is this remnant coming out of Babylonian captivity, but it's going to be met with much, much opposition, because there's those that don't wake and that sleep a perpetual sleep, and they're going to be continuing on in the apostasy just like today, only worse, as this thing just waxes worse and worse. And it's going to be the same dynamics that Jesus dealt with, as the scribes and Pharisees, blinded with pride and hypocrisy, will ultimately kill the multitude, because this is what happens, the martyrs, as the metaphors become literal, and how it's all going to play out. I don't know. I sent one quick note out to my friend Loretta, who's very tuned into this, and we, I just get so much encouragement from Loretta and Cindy, and, they just get it, and we've all come out of the church system in pretty much similar manners, and we know what goes on. Our dear friends are still trapped in the system, but we see the evil of this Christian right that is Zionist, that is absolutely the signature of all apostasy. You'll see, is this misappropriation of the heritage as the Israel of God, and lumping it upon this flesh abomination in the desert. And you know, this is the signature, and this is what it's all going to get down to, as the remnant speak out and say, no, we are the Israel of God. We are the chosen people. We are the apple of God's eye, the obedient covenant people. And, you know, the apostate system, you know, sees it differently, as they are truly caught in this strong delusion. It, the signature of this strong delusion is the abomination that maketh desolate. And this abomination that was set up in 1948 has truly now made the house of God desolate. And in Scripture we see that it doesn't get fixed. Is man in his plan, in his building and climbing, in his, you know, the four carpenters are trying to fix it. They're going to fix Babylon. They've got a system. Well, in Scripture, it's quite the contrary. We could have healed Babylon. She is not healed. Come out from among her and be ye separate. And this is the call, because there's God's protection. In the wilderness, enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation is past. Well, this indignation, this little moment, has probably been the last 140 years, the time that the bottomless pit has been opened. And in the middle of Revelation chapter 9, we see the king over them. Over them is the king over the serpents and scorpions, the king that changes times and laws. And this king in Daniel chapter 8, he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And this is what's happened. You know, this king of fierce countenance, and he is the head over the transgressors who have come to the full. And these are the transgressors that come to the full, or the false teachers who have come to the full in the house of God and are running the whole show. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail. And this is talking about Satan when he's sitting on the throne, and as it says in Revelation chapter 13, on his seat of authority. It's the same identity as that serpent, that old serpent, the dragon, in Revelation 12 and in Revelation 20. It's when Satan is sitting on the throne, sitting on the mount of the congregation to the sides of the north. And this is where we are today. The transgressors have come to the full. And we've got about 5 years to go. Thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you, I've got a conviction about this. I know this is where we are. How it's going to play out, I don't know. What I think's going to happen is I think that the Christian right will get in the 2016 election. And at that time, the deception will be so bad. This is where the Christians will think that we're gaining ground and we're overcoming. Now, this is just my two cents. You know, I'm not going to go out with the political predictions anymore. But I this is what I see happening: is this Zionist Christian right? You know, right in the middle of Rome with this new Jesuit Pope, all tied to the same. Power, and you know, there's no one power that this is just a complete mass deception, as this Freemasonic gospel of all paths lead to heaven, and uniting you know, the other religions of the world into this fake, you know, peace. And these are the people that aren't reading their scriptures, that realize that Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And I came to separate, you know, father and son, mother and daughter. Anyone who loves, you know, them more than he loves me is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. This is the Lord. This is our Lord, because he requires obedience. And he gets obedience through his grace, because his grace is power. Is his power. We're saved by grace through faith. And that grace is the power of God. It's not this magic umbrella that covers everybody. Hallelujah, washed in the blood. I mean, the power of the blood, the atoning sacrifice on the cross, has been so tainted and so twisted. And I just pray that you continue to seek the Lord diligently. And until next time, I love everybody, all the listeners. Thanks for the support. And this is Chris Ardern saying goodbye.
Your God of gold, your pride of might shall be yours.